Hello and welcome to episode 68 of the First and Gold podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Longa. And Sim, before we dive too much into the basketball thing, as the basketball team got their season underway earlier this week, let's talk a little bit on Boilermaker football here as they get ready to host the number one Ohio State Buckeyes, who come to Ross-Ade Stadium on Saturday for a 1 p.m. kick. Kind of a weird start time. I don't remember the last time I saw a game start at 1 p.m. Eastern time. But nevertheless, the Buckeyes come and, yeah, man, it's kind of just where we're at the point of the year where, like, it's hard to really get up and excited for these games. You know, obviously we're going to be locked in and watching it because, you know, we're crazy probably. But, you know, at this point in the year, Sim, it's kind of almost like open tryouts for next year.
Yeah, I'd agree with you, man. I think that, especially because when they lost last week, they officially became they're like no longer bowl eligible. So yeah, now it's kind of like you're starting to kind of turn the page and look towards next year. So, you know, I think I just want to see, you know, a competitive football team. You know, that now that it's shaken out, the entire month of November, you're gonna play all ranked teams, including the last two national champions, top two teams in the country. So, you know, coming on here and saying like, man, well, I feel like we can go, you know, 2-2, you know, 3-1. 1-3, I think that seems a bit much. Obviously, you know, we want them to win, but I think now what you want to see is you just kind of want to see for some of the younger guys, the guys who you believe can stay. You know, you want to see some improvement. Try to identify, okay, well, who's someone who's you know, taking some strides in the right directions and kind of giving themselves a springboard into next season. So that's kind of where I feel like my expectations, kind of my outlook on these games is going to be different. Like you said, obviously we'll be watching the game just like you, because yeah, we've got something wrong in the head, but yeah, fun times ahead.
And the Boilermaker defense is really going to have their hands full. You know, you talked about the Boilermakers playing the number one and two team in the country here in the next few weeks, and probably arguably playing the number one and number two best quarterbacks in the country as well. And it'll start with Julian Sain, the quarterback at Ohio State. You know, he's got all kinds of weapons around him. Interestingly, Max Clair, former Boilermaker, will be there. I wouldn't be shocked if they got him going. But, you know, I see this game and I have flashbacks to the Rutgers game where was it Duff for them, just, you know, had like 200 yards receiving on his own. And that really scares me about what a guy like Jeremiah Smith can do on the outside. The defensive backs are really going to have their hands full this weekend.
Yeah, no, man. I think that was one of the things we talked about with the Rutgers game, about how, like, well, Rutgers game then, the Michigan game, about how, you know, the defense was able to make plays for you. They damn sure didn't play terribly, you know, that Michigan game, but the task gets significantly harder with Ohio State. And like you said, you know, you see what KJ Duff did against this defense, and think about Jeremiah Smith, who's literally just like, it's just counting down the number of games until he's able to go to the pros. Yeah, I mean, if you're into that type of thing and your state allows it, you know, you might want to take his over on yards, maybe ladder his receptions, maybe even his touchdowns, because there is a potential. What now?
Multiple touchdowns probably too.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Probably, you know, maybe a 2+, 3+, 4+, just for the vibes of it. And then maybe alt receiving yards. Again, these are all terms. I don't know if they're actually accurate or not. It's just like things I've heard. But yeah, they're gonna have their hands full, especially that secondary. And then, you know, this is a game too where you really could use a good performance from your D line, because if they're able to generate any type of pressure, and really from the front seven, you're able to generate any type of pressure on the quarterback, on Julian Sain, be able to make him make the, make some quicker throws, and maybe he's, not allow him to be so comfortable back there. You might be able to kind of disrupt some things. I look at this game as one of, like, of course, yes, you'd want to start out quick. You want to start out fast, and you want to want to try to get your score first, and kind of make them play from behind. But yeah, it's going to be the tallest order that this Purdue defense has had to date. I think, yeah, even more so than what they had against like a Notre Dame with the running attack. I think that Ohio State's passing game is something to be very, very fearful of.
Yeah, which is going to put a lot of onus on the offense as well, which, a tall task for them, especially without your best offensive weapon, which we talked about on the last episode. But, it feels like a game where if they're going to be able to stay in it, you're going to have to score. And so you're going to need Ryan Brown to, probably play. Hit the best game of his life. You're gonna need guys to really step up, and it's just a really tall task. You're probably gonna need to generate some short fields. And you're probably gonna see Coach Odom be very aggressive. Maybe some trick type plays. I think back to the Notre Dame game where they faked the punt. You might see some plays like that just to try to kind of flip the field, and just try to get some momentum on your side and really use the crowd to your advantage there. But it definitely feels like the offense is really going to have to bring their game as well, because it's not going to be a game where you can score 21, 24 points and feel okay. You're going to have to get into the 30s, probably into the 40s, if you're going to want to have a shot this weekend.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. I agree. Like, this is, again, I mean, what else would you expect, though? You're playing the number one team in the country. You're gonna ex like every facet of your team has to be on. So, we've talked about complimentary football so much throughout the season, and like, this is the quintessential game where you need to have complimentary football. The offense needs to be clicking. So you're talking about Ryan Brown having a good game, but the receivers need to as well. I know, we've. There have been instances of people having a case of the dropsies, and that can't be something that happens. You need your O-line to protect, to not only pass protect, but also to be able to run block as well. And you need to be able to run effectively as well. If you're able to put together touchdown scoring drives similar to the one that they had against Michigan, I think it was a 16 play, 75 yard drive. It was about 9.5 minutes. If you can put together drives like that, and essentially try to, like, the your you know it's an extension of your defense, your best defense being your offense, being out there on the field, eating up clock, being able to finish drives with touchdowns. Like, that's how you start. That's how you start in terms of, like, hey, if you're gonna be able to pull off this upset, that's where you start at in terms of the things you need to go right. Like, you can't even begin to think that you can turn the ball over multiple times and that you're gonna somehow have a chance there. This has to be like the cleanest, most dialed in you've ever seen this iteration of Purdue football, in order to go out and beat Ohio State. And it's not saying that they're not capable of it. It's just obviously what we've seen over the last, 7, 8 weeks. It doesn't necessarily give you that feeling, because we've seen it in spurts throughout various games, but we haven't seen them be able to put it together for 4 quarters. And you're gonna need that against Ohio State. Hell, against Ohio State, and the rest of the way, you're going to need that against these type of quality opponents to be able to not only just be in it in the fourth, but be able to finish it off and get the upset.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And so we'll see what happens. Number one team coming to West Lafayette. Interestingly enough, the first time since 1990 that the Boilermakers have played the number one team in the country, which shocked me the first when I read that. I would not have guessed it had been that long.
Right.
But we'll see, man. They'll come to Ross Aid again, a 1 p.m. kick. It'll be the same broadcast crew on Big Ten Network that we had last week. So hopefully you guys enjoyed the broadcast last week, because Jeff Lavering and Jake Butt will be right back there. to call this one. So, you know, maybe Jake will be a little bit more pro Purdue this time, but we'll see. Like, I guess the one silver lining is, you know, the Boilermakers have had a lot of success against ranked Ohio State teams, especially when they come to Ross-Ade Stadium. So reaching here, but I guess that's the one thing we got
Is there another line you want to say there? Is there another
going.
line? I feel like it's two words. I feel like that's where you're leading to.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I think you do. I think you do. Well,
Somebody
yeah.
might be due, but I don't
Right.
know. But again, 1 p.m. kick, Big Ten Network. Win or lose, we'll be here to break it all down next week. But Sim, let's talk a little bit about the hardwood. I don't know if you heard, but the Boilermakers kicked off their
I got lots of
a season. The road to Indianapolis began Tuesday evening as Evansville came to Mackey Arena. And you know, it was a pretty interesting game starting off. Obviously, you get the announcement right before tip that Trey's not starting with the injury, and so Jack Benter gets thrown into the starting lineup. And it kind of just seemed like, I don't know if it was Russ with game one or just kind of out of sync, but it definitely seemed like the switch up in the starting lineup kind of threw the Boilermakers off a little bit, and it took them a little bit to get going. But man, when they did, they just took off running.
No, it was a bit turbulent there to start. And I like you said, I think the lineup change, and because I wasn't like I knew that that Trey was hurt. I was just as surprised when I heard the that he was listed as questionable and then didn't play. But yeah, I would like to just chalk it up to just again, it's just these guys like learning together and kind of building that camaraderie, that rapport. I wouldn't even necessarily say camaraderie. I think they all get along just fine. But just in terms of like when, you know, playing against when you have those five playing against a five that isn't their own teammates, in those real game situations. And like, you know, now that all these reps count, you know, sometimes you can run into a situation where guys are overthinking, especially when they're not in the role that they were kind of expecting to be in, you know. So it was a bit turbulent to start. But yeah, I think probably midway, a little up past the midway point of the first half, that's when, like, I'd probably say probably closer to about the 5 minute mark of the first half. I think that's when they started to kind of you know, figure it out. And shout out to Fletch for starting to splash some threes. And then all of a sudden it was, you know, it went from, I think, went from like a 9 point game to being about like 17 or 18. But yeah, I mean, all in all, I can't say I was too disappointed in what I saw. Think the of course, you know, the one area that I'm sure we'll probably talk about a bit more in depth is that can get better is the rebounding. But I mean, between what you saw from Daniel and then Oscar, those two combining for 20 and 19, just to be able to get that type of production from your five spot, that kind of bodes well for you going forward. Not to say that every game they're going to be able to do that, but if they can get somewhere in that range, you know, last year we used to talk about, okay, what are you going to get from outside of the big three? And your assumption would be that if Trey's playing, that, you know, he's probably getting double figures. He's probably getting, you know, 16, 18 himself, and then getting probably five or six boards. But if you can get from the other forward position, you can get that type of contribution, it's going to make us, you know, a lot harder to beat. It makes us that much more potent. So yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a really good call out there. And I did just want to, you know, just highlight, it doesn't sound like that the injury for Trey is anything too concerning. Payton said after the game, it just kind of flared up after practice on Monday. And, you know, you kind of just get the sense that, like, if it was come Big Ten play, he's probably out there playing. But with the start of the season and with the opponent they had, you know, there really wasn't any sense in rushing it and, you know, making a minor injury worse. So, Not sure if he'll play on Friday against Oakland. My guess is he probably won't, and they'll rest him for Alabama on Thursday of next week. But we'll wait and see. But I think that's a really good call out about Oscar and Daniel. And I think Payne even talked about it in his presser afterwards and the contributions that they both made. And, to your point, I don't know if they. If we ever got that type of production from the fives in any game last year. And so to get that in game one was really good to see. And like you could argue, like especially Daniel early on, wasn't as efficient as he probably would have liked to be. Dropped a lob pass, I can remember, missed a couple of shots right there at the rim. So that number could really even be higher. And then to your point as well, on the rebounding side, they probably could have done a better job rebounding, which seems weird with Oscar getting 10, Daniel getting 8. But there was a lot of offensive rebounds out there for Evansville to grab. But all in all, really impressive to see what you got from those guys, especially Oscar. We talked about it on the last one. About how it just felt like, he was just kind of was just starting to kind of get into a rhythm with the guys out there and seemed to flow a whole lot more. You kind of saw, why Paint went out there and got him. In game one, he gets 9 points and 10 rebounds. Really hard to argue with that kind of production there.
Yeah, man. Like, I mean, and I think Paint talked about it in his presser about, and this is kind of something I'd overlooked myself. Like, Oscar's going from a setting where he was, option number one, and so everything's moving through him. So in terms of volume of shots and, like just the way he can play, when you're option number one, I think it's easier to try to get into a rhythm, because hey, the ball's going through me, and now he's in a situation where that's not necessarily the case, and it doesn't. And I think he knew that when he committed to coming to Purdue, but I think that's probably been some of why we haven't seen the stats jump out from him yet, is because he's trying to figure out, okay, like, how do I fit in the right way, to kind of elevate and also be able to support, what's going on between, like, with Yav, because he'll be out there on the floor, obviously, with TKR, with Trey, Fletch, and Braden. And so it's like, all right, those guys, they have their chemistry, they have that, they kind of have that ultimate green light, that trust from Painter, and I know I have it myself, but also, I want to be able to blend in what they're doing. I think that, yeah, but I think you saw times in this last game offensively, in terms of, okay, like, back to the basket. If he seals his guy off in the middle of the paint, like, you can just basically chalk that up. That's 2 points. Some of the positioning he was able to get on in terms of rebounding, just, having it like, winning positioning before, as the shot goes up. So by the time it misses, he's already there. I think he actually got an and one or two off of that, off of just like off of, getting a rebound. It was more so he had good positioning over his defender, got the rebound, and was able to go straight back up. So yeah, just seeing the production that he was able to give. Yeah, you mentioned with Daniel, I mean, he was 4 of 10. And for a guy his size, I don't expect him to go 4 of 10. I mean, granted, he had two of those were threes, but I don't expect him to go four of ten from the field very often. And like you called out, he missed a lob. I think there was also a bounce pass on a pick and roll that he didn't get. And then I think he had a couple close bunnies too, that I think because the defender was there, it's like he didn't play with force. And so he was almost like fading away on the shots, or he was too soft with the shot. And those are all things that I think for him, as he continues to play, get more reps. Obviously, I think we can all agree, he's going to continue to put weight on. But those are things that, as the season goes on, or as he's watching the tape, I think even he will get better at, hit that rapport on the pick and rolls in terms of the lobs. I know they've done it 1,000 times in practice, or even with the bounce pass. So he know I, it's not an issue of like, oh, this is something he's never done before. It's just, nah, dude, we've been doing this all off season and whatnot. We just now we have to do it for real. And I think that that'll get better. Like, yeah, like with just more time, more reps. So just to get that type of production from the five is really, really big, man. Because I agree with you, man. I think we say with pretty good certainty last year that we didn't get that type of production from the five spot. That's no shade at who, you know, that the it's not a shade. It's the reality.
Yeah. No, and one last thing about Oscar there that kind of really stood out was the five offensive rebounds and also three assists and zero turnovers. And you saw a couple of times where he was able to get boards and kick it out for an open three. Jack was able to do it a couple of times as well, but just really impressive. For him to have three assists as well and then zero turnovers is always big from your big man. But Sim, we've talked a lot about this game, and we haven't talked about Fletch yet. So, the most impressive performance from him in a while, career high 30 points. And I say in a while because his last game at Mackey, he knocked down seven threes also. So he really likes shooting at Mackey Arena. And I thought it was funny Paint's quote after the game when he was asked about how Fletch kind of gets viewed by the fan base. And Paint said anybody who doesn't think Fletch is a good player, he's just not a smart person.
He said,
And
"Don't." He said,
great.
"Don't hang out with them."
He said, let's not hang out with him. Braden also said he's the best shooter in the country, which, if he's shooting 7 of 10 from three, it's hard to argue. But,
I was going to say, yeah, I don't think that can be argued with.
but man, what a performance. And you kind of spoke about it, how, he really kind of helped, especially early, well, I should say like midway through that first half when Purdue was kind of treading water a little bit. He knocked down some threes. You could tell Braden was looking for him and transitioned some too. And just that connection that they have. But man, he was just looking like me out there the way he was knocking down those threes. It was just really nice to see.
I know this dude is not saying that shit. Anybody, obviously, he looked like your boy. But y'all only have one other comparison. Anyways, but no, man, his shot making, and I think we've seen it enough, over his the previous three seasons. Fletch is a guy who, if those first couple shots go down early, you start to look for him to get him the ball, because it can be one of those special nights. And just as you talked about, Purdue was kind of treading water there in the first half, and he was able to knock down some shots, and it gave us some breathing room. And then, and probably in turn allowed guys to relax a little bit while we were still trying to figure it out. And then he obviously and Jack Benner in the second half, they start off and just get busy from three again. But man, really, really solid game from Fletch. But he was 8 of 11 overall, 7 of 8 from the free throw line. You mentioned the 7 of 10 from threes, and so honestly, like as I'm looking at the stat sheet right now, I'm thinking about that Kentucky game and how I think he was what, like 3 of 15. And meanwhile, then he turns around and in the first game that actually matters, he goes 8 of 11, 7 of 10 from threes, 7 of 10 from three. So yeah, just again from Fletch, man, it was. Just it was a really good game, and I think for those people who question him, I think it gives you the reminder of like, no, he's capable of doing shit too. I think rightfully so. Braden and TKR get so much attention, they get so much press per se, and Fletch is almost kind of seems like the odd man out. But games like this are the ones that need to remind ourselves, other fans, even the opponents. Hey, Fletch will like don't sleep on Fletch, or he'll hang 30 on you, literally.
Yeah. So if he wants to do that every game this year, that'd be really cool.
Shoot 77-3. Hell yeah.
But speaking of good performances too, we gotta talk about Jack Benter. Making his first career start in his first game, and not only that, but just kind of thrust into the starting lineup because of the injury. And he looked like he belonged in the starting lineup. You know, he really shot the ball well, made a couple really nice passes, got some rebound. He probably could have rebounded a little better, but you could probably say that for arguably the whole team. But you know, just really impressive for him. And it was nice to finally see it after kind of reading so many of the reports and hearing reports during the offseason about like how well he's looked. And you know, obviously with him redshirting last year, we haven't really gotten a chance to see him play that much. And man, did he open up some eyes with the way he played here in this first game.
Yeah, no, he really did. I mean, for all the reasons you just mentioned, and I think what's kind of ironic about him being the one to get the start is that I think Painter talked about it. I want to say and might have been after the Kentucky game or something like that, or maybe before. And he talked about how Jack had to play the four over the summer because like Oscar and Liam were having up between Oscar, Liam, and then even Daniel. There were points in the season, I mean, that in the summer where they weren't there. So Jack played the four because, like, just it's out of this just necessity. So for him to get the start today and essentially in a similar sort of circumstance, yeah, it just and for him to perform the way that he did, it was really uplifting, man. It really was. You know, all it made me think about was if this is the type of production you can get. You know, from him coming off the bench, you know, it just takes me back to last year where, you know, conversation you and I were constantly having was, what are you going to get from the bench? You know, what you know, and there was a lot of inconsistencies. You have these up and downs, but, you know, Jack Benner's showing himself as a guy who with minutes will get you buckets. And like you said, he not only does that, but he also had the six rebounds. And as you mentioned, like along with everyone else in the team, you know, probably could have done a better job rebounding there, but he just played really well. I liked his energy. I liked the shots that he took. I mean, he also seems kind of got like with Fletch, where like if he sees a couple go down, you know, you start looking for him to get the ball, and now he gets that green light. And I know Pate talked about how he just like he does have that confidence in Jack to be able, hey, if you see it and it's a good shot, go. Like he doesn't want that hesitation. So yeah, man, I was thoroughly impressed. And again, he was a guy who didn't really like stick out in the exhibitions, but like you see here again, when the bright lights are on and now the reps count, he's able to come in and perform. So for myself, like for the first time getting like proper exposure to Jack, this is really good, really encouraging.
Yeah, and I think one thing to build off that too is that it just kind of shows that, you know, he can play the four and play it well, because there are going to be times this year where Purdue is going to have to go with a smaller lineup. And so for him to be out there and get these minutes with Fletch and Braden, and, you know, show that he can be that four out there, I think is really going to be invaluable as the year goes on too.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. Yeah, just having live meaningful reps where you're playing these different lineups. And like you said, there will be a game where that's necessary. And so to kind of be getting those reps to where if it gets called upon somewhere down the line, you know, nope, we've done this before. We all know how to coexist. We all know how to work. That only bodes well for Purdue. That's why I think even Painter talked about, he's like, it's nice to be able to have games where you have a bit of adversity, but you still win. And I think that's what that's what this Evansville game was. There was a bit of adversity up there at the front, you know, on the front end, but they were able to work their way through it and then be able to pull away and you know, dominate as they should have.
Yeah, and one last thing, Sin, that I want to make sure to touch on, because I don't think it's getting kind of talked about nearly enough, but just from like the team as a whole, I was really impressed with how they defended Evansville. You know, they made him take a lot of tough shots. Like, you look at the stat sheet, Evansville shot 21 of 70 from the field, which is 30%. And even worse from three, they shot 20% from three in the game. And that was only because they knocked down a couple of threes late for a while. They, you know, and part of that was that they just couldn't make some shots, but I think part of that was the defense that was played. And, you know, that was kind of a weakness last year. And you could really tell a concerted effort to keep guys out of the paint, and really make them shoot jump shots. And, at least after one game, pretty impressed with how the team as a whole, defended there.
Yeah, they felt a lot more connected defensively than when we saw them the first time out. And again, yeah, that's what you want to see, is you want to see gradual improvement to where that team is playing in sync. Because you're right, there were times last year where it just felt like we couldn't stay in front of guys. And when you don't have, you know, and it, you know, was compounded by the fact that when you don't have a proper presence, you don't have a big man presence, a shot blocking presence in the paint, you know, but it made life tough for us. So for us to be able to go out and look at a guy like Keyshawn Porter on Evansville, a dynamic, you know, cutting, a slashing guard. And I think Payne said afterwards, he was like, our whole thing was we didn't want to let him get to the basket. Didn't want to let him get to the basket. If he was going to score, he had to score over us, you know, hitting jumpers. And, you know, he shot 1 of 11. So I think that's kind of one thing you can kind of point to. And when you're talking about, you bring up this point about the defense and how it just seemed as though we were doing a much better job of keeping guys in front of us. I think you can look at Keyshawn Porter's stat line and see 1 of 11, 0 of 3 from three, well below his standards and his, you know, his, what his history is. So, I think that's where you point, you're like, yeah, okay. Yeah. That's what we would point to and say, yeah, this is how, you know, we did a solid job. And you mentioned too, that Evansville didn't shoot well. They were 21 of 70, and that was 7 field goals less than Purdue made on 11 more attempts.
Definitely a good building block. And I know, like, obviously, as the season goes on and the competition gets tougher, but, you know, that was a pretty solid Evansville team there too. And, you know, I came away impressed with, you know, I think they can build on some things there, especially with how they started. But it was definitely a good kind of building block, especially on the defensive side, for this team. And look, like, anytime you can win by 30 points, and, like, I think you would agree, like, we're not, like, wow. Like, I don't think anybody's like, oh, Purdue played the best game they've ever played. Like, still lots of things to work on and stuff, and you win by 30 points. Like, I think that just says kind of, one, a lot about how high the bar is right now, but, like, two, like, how good these guys are and this team can be.
Yeah, man. This team has lofty expectations, and if their bad days are going to be them winning by, you know, double-digit points, I'm down. More, please.
Well, hopefully we will get more on Friday, as the Boilermakers will return to Mackey. They'll take on Oakland, who, by the way, might have, like, the toughest three-game stretch out of any team, to not only start the year, but just any three-game stretch. They play Michigan and then Purdue, and then I'm pretty sure their next game is against Houston. So, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a lot of,
with that.
That's a line of, you expect, like, maybe in the tournament, but, like, damn, to start off the year, that's fucking nuts.
Yeah,
so hopefully there's did they lose to, is Michigan they just played, right? They lost to Michigan?
Yeah.
Hopefully, fortunately, at Oakland, we'll need to go to 0-2, respectfully. Not personally. It's just business.
Yeah, so we'll see. Again, not sure the status on Trey. Like I said, I would guess they're probably going to sit him out again. And, you know, no sense to really rush him back. Payne also did say that, you know, no official status yet as far as redshirt for Antoine West. That kind of seems like kind of a wait and see type thing with him. He did say they want to redshirt Sam King, and they're trying to work some things out there. But yeah, man, obviously they'll have some things to work on, but, you know, a good first step there. And It was just nice to be back in Mackey to have, Kevin and Robbie on the call. Braden was throwing lobs. Flesh was splashing threes. It was a good overall night there to start the regular season off.
Hell yeah, man. Felt like all was right in the world again. And at least as it relates to
We
pro sports.
like stress-free wins. More
Right.
stress-free wins, please.
Right. When I can multitask, honestly, you can multitask while watching a team. One or two, it's either going really well or it's going really bad. The last couple of years, depending on the time of year, it has been one way or the other. So yeah, this was enjoyable though, man. I've said it for years about how like I'll always take me some stress-free basketball. So anytime I can be belt ass, it's so I can do that shit.
Yeah, and hopefully they can keep that going again Friday night, 7 p.m. It will be on Peacock. So just a little heads up there. But the boys will be back in Mackey on Friday night. A fun way to start the weekend there. And we will be locked in and ready to watch and see what happens. Before we wrap this episode up, did just want to again highlight the volleyball team as they look to build off of their weekend last week and their 6-game win streak. They return home to West Lafayette for a pretty long homestand, actually. And it'll get started this weekend on Friday night as well. A 5:30 p.m. start. They'll take on Penn State. It'll be Hawaiian night. So you can watch the volleyball team leading right up to the basketball match. That'll be on Big Ten Plus. And then they'll turn right around Saturday evening and take on Iowa, a 7 p.m. start. That will also be on Big Ten Plus. So good luck to the ladies there. But like we said, win or lose, we'll be here to break it all down. Lots of sports going on this weekend, so we'll have all kinds of stuff to discuss. But most importantly, boiler up.
Yes, sir.